Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, let's go to Numbers chapter 21. All right. Let me do that again. Maybe I caught you off guard. Numbers 21. Numbers 21. We're going to start there. And I want to read just one verse, and then there's some other verses that we might look at tonight. We'll just see if we have the time. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, the Bible's talking about Israel, children of Israel, and it says that if they came out of Egypt, it says they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people which was much discouraged because of the way. I mean, sometimes the way can get discouraging. And so tonight, you know, by faith, I'm going to preach on seven ways to beat back discouragement. And I said I'm going to do it by faith because there's seven of them. And I said I'm going to do it tonight. So that's a faith statement, all right? But, you know, discouragement is something that we all have to deal with. You know, every one of us have to deal with it. Nobody's immune to it. And, you know, it's like... I've talked about before, you know, as a few years back that I heard this, that the Lord say to me, he said, you need to get off the devil's tape of the month club. Mm-hmm. Now, he said that to me that way because he knew, you know, he understood I knew what he was talking about. Now, he'd have said that to a young person, they would have, what's a tape? You mean like a tape measure? You mean like scotch tape, masking tape, you know, duct tape? Years ago we used to get cassette tapes and we, you know, ministers, I did, you know, I still send out monthly, not tapes, but CDs, but you know, years ago it was cassette tapes. And you send it out to your partners every month. I still do that to my partners every month. I send out a letter and a CD, but I used to send out tapes, you know. And some ministers, they had a subscription to their tape of the month. You could pay so much for a year's subscription to the tape of the month, and every month they would send you a tape. I just send it free as seed back to our partners who are sowing into us anyway. So I don't charge anything. I just sow it. But my point is the Lord began to talk to him, and he began to say, you know, the devil sends out the same tape every month. And it's always on discouragement. And he said, you need to get off of that. Amen. You need to get off his list and quit receiving his tapes. He doesn't have anything to say that's good. Did you know that he speaks? That Jesus said he did. He said when he speaks, though, he speaks a lie. Because the truth's not in him. Are you with me now? And so how does he speak to us? Well, I don't know that I've ever heard the audible voice of God, you know, or the audible voice of the devil. But how does he speak to us? Well, he speaks to us through thoughts, suggestions, amen, you know, different ways that he can, people. Remember when Jesus began to talk to his disciples about the fact that he was going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, be mistreated by the elders and the chief priests and all. And Peter said, that'd be far from thee, Lord. That's King James. That'd be far from thee. And that won't happen to you, you know. My Bible, in the Greek it says, where it says, Peter said, that'd be far from thee. My cross-reference says, it says, pity yourself. Pity thyself. So in other words, what I see all that is you know, the devil was trying to get Jesus to feel sorry for himself. Like, you know, he didn't deserve this. Let me know that. We deserve this, right? He didn't deserve it, but, you know, and so Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know, Peter had some rough days occasionally, didn't he? I mean, this day gets called Satan, so anyway, so, you know, but thank God he stuck around, right? You know, think about when he denied the Lord. Remember that? He denied the Lord. I mean, remember that he did that? And so, but the good thing about him is he stuck with the disciples, though, you know. Amen. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, he came and he said to it might have been Mary. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm going to meet them over here. And he singles out Peter because he wants him to know, I still consider you a disciple. You denied me, you know, but he went out and repented. Thank God for it. Amen. Amen. But this day, he really blew it. I mean, I've been rebuked before, you know, but I've never had my pastor call me Satan. I'm just saying. You know, that's a strong rebuke. I mean, what did you think if I said, do you get behind me, Satan? You know, that's pastor had a bad day today. But I mean, Jesus wasn't having a bad day. He wasn't really calling Peter Satan. He was really recognizing, you know, what Peter was yielding to. See, it was the devil speaking through Peter to try to get Jesus to feel sorry for himself. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself. And it's kind of fun sometimes, but, you know, not very long. It gets you depressed, right? So I want to talk about this, and I'm just going to look at, I don't know if I'm going to look at all these scriptures that I have. I have a lot of scriptures, but I don't think I'll look at them all because there's just so many, and I think I want to get through this tonight. But seven ways to beat back discouragement. You know, discouragement comes to take the courage out of you, you know, to remove that. And so the people here in Israel, you know, they've come out of Egypt, you know, and now they're on this journey, and they're much discouraged because of the way, or some translation, in the way, well, you know, this way that they're in, this much discouraged them. Well, let me talk to you about how to, you know, beat back discouragement. You think you could use this sometime? Yeah. Maybe there's people here, you might need it tonight, I don't know. But I've certainly needed it before, you know. I've certainly experienced discouragement and you know, have to beat it back. Man, I've quit before. But I couldn't quit for long because I didn't know what else I'd do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've like, well, I don't need this. I just quit. You know, I don't need that. I don't mean quit the Lord. You know, I'm not that dumb. All right, everybody, come on. This isn't up for vote. But I'm not that dumb. I mean, I know He's the Savior. But you know, so I thought I could do something else in my life. So it's, you know, the ministry and all that. And so I've quit the ministry before. Just, you know, for 15 minutes or so. And it didn't last long because I realized, I can't do that. What am I going to do? I mean, it's either do what God called me to do or be like Jonah. Amen. And I'm not looking to be, you know, I'm not looking to get some kind of a carnival cruise inside of a belly of a whale. Amen. Are you with me now? You know, and so Jonah found out, you can either obey or you can get in trouble. So, I realized, you know, I can't quit. But have you ever felt like that? So let's talk about this. How do we beat this thing back? Because this is something that the devil uses now. You know, here's what he knows. He knows this. The devil knows some things that some believers don't even know. Just by virtue of being around a long time. And so, you know, he there's no truth in him, but he does know some things. And he knows this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he knows if he can get our joy, he can get our strength. And if he gets your strength, I mean, you know, he knocks you out of the race, right? So let's talk about this. All right, number one, are you ready? Going to be seven of them. Number one, the way to beat back, seven ways to beat back discouragement. Number one, you got to keep your focus in life on the Lord. Hebrews 3:1 says, consider Jesus. It's consider him, the apostle and high priest of our profession. So consider it. Now that consider him in Hebrews 3:1 means to focus on. Let your focus be on him. Amen. You know, life can get real discouraging sometimes. There's times if I watch too much news, I get discouraged. Because I think, are people really this stupid? And, it can discourage you. How many can relate to what I'm saying? So you have to make sure that you don't focus on that. You see, you can get your focus on politics. You can get your focus on cultural issues. All these things are not, all these things sometimes are things that need to be addressed, but that's not where our focus is supposed to be at. Our focus is supposed to be on Jesus. Amen. You know, so you can get your focus on, you know, it's like Isaiah said that gross darkness would cover the earth, didn't he? How many believe that we're there now? You know, gross darkness will cover the earth. But he said, the glory of the Lord shall arise and be seen on you. So you can either focus on the gross darkness or you can focus on the glory. You can focus on the bad or you can focus on the good. It's up to you. Remember when David, the town he lived in, it got raided. Everybody, his wives, he had more than one wife, two wives and children and all. Everybody's wives and children were all taken. All the stuff was taken. They were in a town called Ziklag. Where are you from? Ziklag. Wow. So David comes back to town and everybody's gone. The town's burnt, you know. And the Bible says they wept till they had no more power to weep. Well, that's discouraged, isn't it? And so, but I like what David did. You know, the Bible says that they spoke of stoning David because the reason they left town was because they went with him. They were going to go help the Philistines fight. David at this time was living in the land of the Philistines because Saul was trying to kill him. So he left Israel. He'd hooked up with the king of the Philistines. And so he was living there, and Philistines were getting ready to go to battle, and so David took his mighty men, and they were going to help him. And so when they got there, the lords of the Philistines said, "What are you doing?" You know, they said to the king, "What's David doing here?" And you know what kind of man he is. You know what kind of warrior he is. What better way could he get in good standing with the king of Israel again? He couldn't find a better way to get in better standing with the king of Israel. We go out to battle, he'll turn on us, and that's going to put him in good standing with his own, you know, king. And they said, "You tell him to go home." So they made him go home. So these guys they're not real happy with David, and they're going to stone him. I've had people that weren't happy with Pastor, but I haven't been stoned yet. But anyway, they were going to stone him. And I like what the Bible says. David, and the King James says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. He began to focus on not on the problem, because he told the priest, bring the ephod, and it was a way that they inquired of God, and he inquired of God, and he said, "Shall we go after this troop? Shall we pursue? Shall we overtake?" See, he began to look, instead of looking at the bad, he began looking at the answer. He got his focus right. Amen. See, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, didn't he? But he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome it." Amen. I like the Amplified. So he says, "I've deprived it of its power to harm you and conquered it for you." Hallelujah. So, you know, we have to make sure that we don't, as Christians, listen now, as Christians, that we don't get our focus in the wrong place. That we can get our focus on the problems in our country. You know, there's a lot of churches that are focused on what's wrong in the country. Well, what's wrong in the country needs to be dealt with. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing any of that. I'm simply saying this. That's not where your focus is supposed to be. Your focus is supposed to be on the Lord. You can miss your answer by focusing on the negative. Amen. So you have to get your focus right. Amen. God's able to make the bitter water sweet. Amen. But you got to throw the tree in the bitter waters. Sweeten them up. You got to get your focus. Amen. Amen. So we got to watch it. We don't just focus on all the negatives going on and, oh my gosh, you know, we're losing our liberties and all this and all that. Well, listen, let me just say something to you. If you think government's bad today, you should have been in the time of the Apostle Paul. It's not even close. And so, you know, and that's not to say that things don't need to change. They do, but let's get our focus on the Lord. Amen. And in our own lives, let's get our focus on the Lord. Let's get our focus off what's going wrong. You can just focus on the bad. Amen. You know, sometimes you can accentuate the negative, the bad. You know, you can point that out, and you can just put your focus right on that. You know, you can have a lot of good things going. Well, Dr. Barclay used to do this with his kids. Today, that it would probably be called child abuse. But his kids would whine. You know, they're grown up now. But you know, but when they were little, they would whine and carry on about how bad they had it and you know how awful it was. And you know what he would do? He would take them to the emergency room. No, he didn't admit them to the hospital. He would set them in the waiting room, and they would sit there for a few hours watching people come and go that were messed up. When they had enough, they finally said, "Dad, my attitude's adjusted. Can we go home?" And he would say, "Because you see people that, you know, they don't, you know, you guys don't have it so bad after all." So sometimes we get our focus just on the negative. Amen. Come on. Now, so number one, you have to get your focus on the Lord in life. You got to get it off just all the negative and all that's going wrong and get it back on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, if you'll focus on Him, He's able to deliver you. I've said this before. I like this saying. Wigglesworth said this, and I understand what he's talking about. He said, "You can never pray the prayer of faith if you look at the person who's needing it." That's rich. What did he mean by that? Well, if you look at the negative thing, it'll zap the faith out of you. He said, "There's only one place to look, and that is to Jesus." And I thought, boy, I understand that because I've been there before to go pray for somebody, and they were so in so much trouble that if you focused on that, it's like all the faith had just run out of you. You had to focus on the answer. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes you had to go back and remind yourself what the Word said. Yeah. Amen? You had to go back and dig out the promises again. Because sometimes it did look good. And man, I've seen people before when I went to pray for them, you know, it just did not look good. Pastor, I know, he went to pray for, actually, the guy was he was a doctor himself, but he was dying. You know, he was dying of lung cancer, I think it was. Anyway, he was spitting his lungs out. I've seen that. I've seen people that were so bad with lung cancer that they were coughing up pieces of chunks of their lung. And so, this guy was that bad. I mean, he was that bad. He went to pray for him. He said, "I went to pray for him," and he said, "They only gave me like a few moments to go pray, you know, because like they're in bad shape." I'm thinking, hey, you know, if they're that bad, what's it going to matter? You can only stay like two minutes. They're about to die. I don't think it's going to hurt. So he went in there and he prayed and he talked to him. He said, I didn't have old time to do a bunch of teaching but he said, "I prayed for him and I said, now, I want you to say this." I want you to say this. I want you to say, "Thank God Jesus is healing me." And he said, this guy was laying there dying of cancer, could just barely talk. He said, "Thank you." This pastor that I know, he said, no, I didn't say thank you. I said, "Say thank God Jesus is healing me." He said, he looked back at me and said, "Thank you." He said, no. I said, "Say thank God Jesus is healing me." He looked at the pastor again, said, "Thank you." He said, no. "I want you to say, thank God Jesus is healing me." So the guy goes, "Thank God Jesus is healing me." And he said, "I want you to keep saying that and keep saying that." And so he said, I left. And he said, I forget, I think maybe came back a few days later and the guy was totally healed. So he asked him what happened. He said, "Well, you told me to say, thank God Jesus is healing me." He said, "So I started saying that." And he said, "You know what?" He said, when the nurse would come in and say, "How you doing?" He said, "I'd say, thank God Jesus is healing me." His wife said, "Yeah." After about a day or 2 days of that, he hadn't eaten solid food for, I don't know, weeks probably. And so he hadn't eaten anything solid in quite a while. But she said, after 2 days, she said, he began talking about fish. And then he said, "Oh, I'd like a fish sandwich. Go to McDonald's and get me two fish sandwiches." And he ate them, and he was healed. But he had to get his focus on Jesus and off his problems, see? And when he was saying that, his focus got on Jesus, and Jesus was able to do something. I mean, this is Bible, folks. Numbers chapter 21, the Bible says, when they were bitten by serpents, they said, whoever looked on that serpent on the pole, whoever looked at that was healed. They got their focus. You know, it'd be kind of hard to look at a serpent on the pole when there's snakes going around your feet. How many dig snakes? How many like snakes? I did as a kid. I grew out of it. As a kid, we'd catch them. I mean, that was... And sometimes it wasn't always good for the snake when we did catch it. But we'd catch them, and all. But, now today, I'm not really into that, But anyway... But he said, you got to look at the serpent on the pole. And when they looked at that serpent on the pole, they were healed. Hallelujah. Yeah. but they had to get their focus right. All right, so number one, we got to get going here, all right? Number one, keep your focus on the Lord. Number two, you have to encourage yourself with the Word. Right. Look at Psalm, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, let's go there real quickly. I don't want to look at too many scriptures because we're not going to have time if we do, but I do want to look at this one. Psalm 119, if you have a Bible. Let's go there. Let me read that to you. Psalm 119, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, are you alive out there tonight? Amen. All right, Psalm 119, verse 28, got it? David said, my soul melts for heaviness or discouragement. Strengthen me according to your word. So his word strengthens us. In other words, listen now, your spirit will grow weak without the word of God. You have to feed it God's word. F.F. Bosworth said this. He's in heaven now, but he was a healing evangelist in the 50s. He said this. He said, many Christians feed their body three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. And that's why they're weak. See, because Jesus said it himself, didn't he? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, you know, all the word of God's for us. How many know that? Romans 15:4 says something that's really cool. It says something like this. It says, what things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So it tells us everything that was written before. You know, if you've been reading through your Bible plan, you've been reading some stuff that you think, come on, you get into that, you know, and this peg goes here and that peg goes there. And well, somebody had to know that. I mean, somebody put the tabernacle together, they had to know, right? Yeah. All right. So, and there is truth and all that. And you get into the begats. Isn't that real exciting reading? Come on, you can just be honest about it. All right. How many understand? But there's a purpose in all that, you know, because, you know, the Jewish people, they had to know their genealogy. They had to know it. And so there was purpose in all that and everything. But then you read, you read some of these stories in the Old Testament about deliverances, like Daniel in the lion's den, like the widow, you know, who, you know, the meal didn't go didn't run out of meal. The oil, cruise of oil didn't go dry. Come on. See, you see these miracles in the Bible? You know, those were written. They're in there for us. That we might have something called hope. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're supposed to read those stories and realize God will do the same thing for us. Hallelujah. It dawned on me one day, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but it dawned on me one day, you know, the angel that delivered Daniel. Remember, the angel came and shut the lion's mouth. It dawned on me one day, you know, that angel's still in the earth. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before. It got me excited. I thought, whoa, he's still here. So the same angel that delivered him, you know, he can help me. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be the same one, but could be. But all those stories were written for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our hope, so that when we get in tough situations, that we can look at those stories and say, well, you know what? God did that. Right. He's already done that before. Yeah. Hallelujah. He will do it again. Yeah. I mean, he hadn't lost the recipe for manna. Amen. He still knows how to do it. Amen. Glory to God. So we have to encourage ourselves with the word, which means we should intentionally feed on God's word so that our spirit man gets fed and he's strong. You know, have you ever gone like, Pastor, have you ever gone 40 minutes without eating? Okay, I'll just check it. Anyway, how many have ever gone 4 days or 5 days without eating? All right. You can get weak if you're exerting a lot of energy, right? Let's say some of y'all say, "What do you mean? I haven't gone 4 hours without eating." What are you talking about, Pastor? But how many understand? What happens is your body needs something, doesn't it? It needs some energy. Sometimes we say, "I'm starving to death," and we got a long ways to go, okay, before that happens. But yet, you know, if you exert a lot of energy, and you don't replenish it, then you get weak. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that. A lot of people don't understand that. Your spirit's the same way. He feeds on the Word of God, and if you don't replenish his strength, he gets weak. He has to be fed. That's what Jesus meant by man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So you don't live by natural food just alone. You have to have the word. Amen. All right, so you have to encourage yourself with the word. If you don't do this, if you don't feed yourself the word on a regular basis, then discouragement's just bound to take over in your life. Amen. See, even Abraham, I can imagine Abraham, the time that God told Abraham he's going to have a son to the time he actually had the son was actually 25 years. So that's a long time to wait on something. 25 years? I mean, most of us, we haven't stood that long for things. Maybe you have, but generally we don't stand for 25 years. But he stood for 25 years. But I like what the Bible said in Romans. It says that even though he didn't have any natural hope, he believed in hope. According to what was written, so shall your seed be. So in other words, what it's saying is Abraham, he got his hope from the word that God spoke to him. He kept his focus on that, and the Bible said he didn't consider his own body, nor Sarah's body. And that's his body and Sarah's body was the problem. The problem was she was barren. Now, when God spoke the promise to him that he was going to have sons, Abraham was not barren. Are you with me now? But God waited until he was incapable of having children before he fulfilled the promise. Now, his body's dead for reproductive purposes. So is Sarah's. And then that God said, okay, it's a good time to have a baby because you can't do it.
That's right.
Amen. But I like Abraham didn't consider the problem. Amen. And God fixed him, man. I'm telling you, he fixed him because when you're reading your Bible, you found out that you read through there, you found out that after Sarah died, Abraham got remarried at 125. He got remarried. Most 125 people aren't thinking about getting remarried. He got remarried and he had 6 more kids. I'd say God fixed him, don't you? Amen. But how did that come about? Well, he could have got discouraged, but he didn't. He held on to the promise. Amen. Number 3. All right. Are you getting this tonight? Paul told Timothy, he said, I'll read it. You can just listen to it because I don't want to take the time to turn to it. Have you all turn to it. But Paul told Timothy, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. That's 1 Timothy 1:18. So he tells Timothy, he said, the prophecies that you've received, fight a good fight with those. War a good warfare. So number 3 is this. You got to remember the prophecies you've received. You say, well, I've never received any. Well, then don't worry about it. You don't have any to remember. God's word's good enough for you, right? But some of us have received prophecies. I've received prophetic words in the last 30-some years. I've received a bunch of them. Some were God, some probably weren't. Most probably were. You know, I just received one just a few weeks ago or so from a pastor friend of mine here in town. And when he said it, I felt the power of God. I mean, I knew he was hearing from God, and he told me some things. It encouraged me. You know, and so when the devil comes along and says it's not going to come to pass, I can say, well, then you're calling the Spirit of God a liar. Because the Spirit of God said it was. And so don't talk to me about it. Go talk to him about it. He's the one that said it. Amen. I'm talking about true prophetic words. And, you know, sometimes we have prophetic words and we think it's going to come to pass overnight, but it doesn't. They don't always come to pass overnight. Now, here's what I've learned about God. He talks like it's going to be tomorrow because to him, it is tomorrow. In his time frame, 1,000 years is a day's 1,000 years with the Lord. 1,000 years is a day. So there's times I've heard things and I thought, oh, man, that's going to be like real fast. And then it's like, no. But yet, if it's God, don't give up on it. Amen. It will surely come to pass. Remember what the Habakkuk said, though it tarry, wait for it. It's going to come to pass. Amen. Amen. So remember the prophecies. You know, sometimes you may need to write them down where you can read them. Because you're going to need them. Amen. You're going to need them. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, just think of the prophecies in the Bible, just the ones that are in Scripture, that some of them took thousands of years to come to pass, a few thousand years to come to pass. But when God said it, it was, you know, it was good as done because He said it. I mean, like in Isaiah, I don't know what year it was right now, I couldn't tell you, but in Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Jesus, but it was a long time before that came to pass. Isaiah, Jeremiah prophesied about Israel returning back into their own homeland. It was 1940s before it happened. I mean, before it was official, that is, I should say. Before it was official, they were officially became a nation again. Well, but it's still in the Bible, you see. In the Bible says, you know, the day will come when you won't say, you know, the Lord liveth that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but you'll say the Lord liveth that brought them out of the north country and different places that they were in the earth. See, so the Jewish people, now listen, I think this isn't God. The Jewish people from 70 A.D. to 1948 remained a distinct, separate people, and they didn't even have their own country. They were all scattered all over the face of the earth, but yet they remained a pure breed of people. That had to be God. You with me now? See, because He said it, amen? I said He said it. And so everything He said in this book, it's going to come to pass. Now, everything He said to you, it's going to come to pass. Now, let me put an if on it, if you don't give up on it. Because God did say, you know, if I prophesy good to you, and you turn from doing good yourself, and you don't live, I'm just paraphrasing, you don't live the life, He said, then I'll change my mind about it. He said, also, if I prophesy doom to you and you repent and change, I'll change my mind about that. Now, what does that mean? Well, God could tell me all kinds of good things, but if I decide to just go live contrary to the Word of God, then I don't put myself in a position to receive it. It's not that it's not true. I got out of the place of where the glory's coming out. Amen. It wasn't God, it was me. Amen. So hang on to the prophecies. Remember them. You know, if you have some, write them down. Amen. Number four, you have to praise God. You're going to be back depressed and you have to praise God. You know, the Bible talks about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You have to make yourself do that. What does that mean? Well, there's times, you know, I do this. I'm not telling you anything I don't do myself. I do this sometimes. Sometimes I'll go into my study and I'll think, okay, I'm going to spend an hour with God. All I'm going to do is just praise Him the whole hour. Yeah, but what about my list? Well, it'll still be there. Your prayer list. And you know what? You know what happens? Every time I do that, you know what happens? I come out lifted up. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because the Bible says when you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness can't stay around when there's praise going on. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to make yourself do it. You have to change garments. I mean, I changed like twice before I came to church tonight. I had a sweater on and I put it on. I thought, this ain't going to work for me. It's too hot. So I took it. I changed garments, see. Sometimes you have to change garments. And if you got that garment of depression on, you got that garment of discouragement on, if you go in there and that's the prayer time with God and just stop praying about your situation. Just stop it. If you already talked to Him about it, forget it. You already talked to Him about it. Just start praising Him. Yeah. Watch and see if you don't come out of there lifted up. Yes, right. Hallelujah. Say, where was that devil? Amen. So number four, you have to praise God. Number five, you have to fellowship in the local church. You know, people make a huge mistake. I see this happen all the time. Was they start getting discouraged and they stop coming to church and then the devil's got them. Because let me tell you what happens at church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Amen. And so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, I'll just read it to you so we get it right. But it's in the book of Hebrews, but you don't have to turn there. Once again, we're in a hurry here. Hebrews 10 talks about not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is or the habit of some is, but exhorting one another, or that means to encourage one another or to push one another forward, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So He didn't say do it less in the last days. He said do it more. Now, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why I found this. There's a lot of reasons, but one reason is Paul told the church at Rome, he said, I long to see you that I may impart something unto you, some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established, that I may be encouraged by the mutual faith both of you and me. So he said, when we get together, there's going to be something called impartations take place. Now, what are impartations? Impartations are endowments. In other words, they give you something you didn't have before. You ever heard about an endowment at a university? Maybe somebody endowed the university with $200 million, you know, for research. Well, what does that mean? They have something to work with they didn't have before. And so the impartations, another word, is just endowment. So when you come to the house of God, you get endowments. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're open for them, you're going to get endowments. You're going to get impartations. I mean, you know, whenever I go to one of Dr. Barclay's conferences, I get impartations. I get something. And so, in other words, I leave there with something I didn't have before I came. I remember years ago, I was really going through a mental warfare in my mind. I mean, it was an attack, you know, of the mind like we've all experienced. And I remember going to church, and I don't know what happened. I can't tell you what happened. I can tell you, but I can't tell you, if that makes sense. But I went to church, and when I left church, that was all gone. And it didn't come back. And I realized somewhere in church, sitting in church, during praise and worship, during the message or something, I got an endowment from God. I got something from the Holy Ghost I didn't have before I walked in that door. And I left different, hallelujah. And that's why we need the local church, because we need to urge one another forward. We need to encourage one another. Amen? Man, we talked about that. Don't just leave it all up to the pastor. I can't get to everybody. People get out of here before I ever even get to them. And so, but when you see people, you know, you encourage them. Maybe if they hadn't been here for a while, don't just stand there and say, where you been? How about it's good to see you? Hope you're doing well. Need prayer? Need an offering? Oh, yeah, you need an offering. Go see Pastor Jerry. Hallelujah. You know? You know what I'm saying? See, put something in people. You know, Brother Hagin, he said, it just swapped his ministry one time when the Lord said to him, he said, the Lord told him, he said, now, if you'd have been a pastor of the church at Corinth, he'd have said, Paul said to them, he corrected, don't misunderstand me, but he put good things into them. He said, you come behind in no gift. Grace and peace. Brother Hagin said that the Lord said to him, you'd have said to them, you bunch of backslidden buzzards. Brother Hagin said, yep, to that time, that's what I'd have said. And he said, the Lord said to him, he said, don't take things away from people. Give them something. He said, it changed my ministry when I heard that. Because he said, I'd hear pastors say, people, maybe they'd be gone for a while and they come back to church and the pastor said, I'm just waiting for them. I'm just waiting for them to I don't know if you guys know this term, waylay them. Y'all know what that means? I can't explain it. Some of the words that we used in Pike County, I don't know what the definition of them is. I don't know. We just inherited them, you know what I'm saying. You know, my grandma would say, land the Goshen. I didn't know whether it was good or bad. Once I learned the Bible, well, Goshen's a good place. It's a place of light, so it must have been good, you know. My grandpa would tell me, I'd go tinkering with something he didn't want me to mess with. He said, don't mess with a bandwagon if you can't toot a horn. Yeah. See, bandwagons, there used to be wagons with bands on them. You know what I'm saying? Where they traveled around town and they had the band on there and they played. Boy, you guys really missed it. You should have been born earlier. Amen. Anyway, and he said, don't mess with a bandwagon if you can't toot a horn. And they would say different things, I'm going to knock you to kingdom come. Hey, man, I remember all those. Yeah. Well, when we come to the house of God, we get something called impartations. And those impartations put something in us we didn't have before. And impartations can come. Look, they could come during the praise and worship. They could come when you walk through the door and the greeters greet you. They could come during the sermon, during the ministry time, laying on the hands. They could come by another believer saying something to you. You just never know what's going to happen. I remember a service years ago. I didn't really want to go to it. I did, but I didn't. It was about an hour and a half away from the house. This is before I ever pastored this church. That was probably 1994, I think it was. And a man of God, well-known minister, was coming to into our area. And, I just decided I wasn't going to go because it was an hour and a half away. and I was tired. And then Phyllis, she said to me, she said, well, how often does he come in our area? I said, well, not very often. Okay, let's go. So we went. You know what? I got something that night. He didn't know me from Adam, but he knew me by the Spirit and said some things to me, you know, that only the Holy Ghost could have given him, this minister. And so it put something in me. Amen. And it really affected, it really had a change in my life because it hooked me up with different people and things that really had an effect on my life and my ministry. I mean, it was just one night going to church. Come on, are you with me now? That's why Paul said, don't forsake that. Don't miss out on those impartations because especially in the last days, you're going to need more of them because there's all kinds of evil impartations out there. You with me now? I mean, don't just be susceptible to all that's going on out in the world. Don't fellowship with that, because you can pick up wrong spirits. You have to watch it in church. You know, you should know those that labor among you. You know, I have a friend. He had a guy in. He did not know the guy. I don't know if I should tell this story. Maybe I shouldn't. But anyway, all right. Let's go on here. Are you getting something? Y'all want me to tell that story on you? I'm just talking about impartation. See, things can be imparted to you. That's why you got to realize that. I'll tell the story. Okay, I'll tell the generic brand. All right. But anyway, he had a guy come to his church, and he only had him because another minister recommended him, and he said, okay, I'll have him in. He did not know him at all, which can be a real problem. That's why, you know, people call here, can I come and sing? Can I come? No, you can't. Not, I don't know you. I don't know what you got. I don't know where you're living right. I don't know what you're going to park. Now, if the Holy Ghost would tell me, then the Holy Ghost would know. But if he doesn't say anything, I'm sorry. I don't know you. You may be greatest thing since sliced bread. But I don't know that. But anyway, he had this guy come in, and he gave him a pulpit. He ministered to people, and he laid hands on people. He said the next week, he said, I got calls from a lot of different women in my church and maybe men too. He said, they called me and said, Pastor, I need to see you. I need to make an appointment. Come in. And so he said, they come in. He said, one after one would say, my mind has been bombarded all week with wrong sexual thoughts. I can't seem to get rid of them. So he'd pray for them and get them delivered. And then he found out the guy he had in was living sexually loose and perverted. And he imparted that to those people. Well, he repented before God and said, I'll never do that again. I'll know who's in my pulpit. Because impartations. I mean, you know, you may know them and you may think they're wonderful and all, but you got to know people really well. Amen? Amen. Come on now. All right. Now, number six, are you with me now? Yes. Number six, you have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, the Bible calls him the Comforter, the King James. New King James says helper. Both are really good words. But when you dig that word out, it's a Greek word called paraclete, not parakeet. Paraclete. Everybody say paraclete. Okay. And one of the meanings of the word is to speak cheerfully to. Which is one of the reasons why the King James calls him a comforter. He comforts you. But he also helps you. And the helper is a good word too. But what I wanted to say is, see, the Holy Spirit, when you get in his presence, he's always going to lift you up. You know, even if he corrects you, it's uplifting because he's just trying to help you. Amen. And so, well, how do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Well, do you know anytime you're praying, the Holy Spirit gets involved? When you're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit gets involved. Remember, the Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Communion. That means fellowship. Now, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. How many know that? We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But we can talk to him. We can have conversations with him. I don't pray to Pastor Jerry, Pastor Chuck, or you, or anybody else, but I talk to you. I have conversation with you. Well, I mean, if we ignore the Holy Spirit, then he's grieved. So we need to recognize his presence. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Praying in tongues, the Bible says you build up yourself on your most holy faith. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you speak mysteries to God. It says, when a man prays in tongues, he edifies himself. That word edifies means he charges himself up. And I saw this one day, and man, this really went all over me when I saw this. I was reading through 1 Corinthians 14 one day, and I saw in there, and I read in verse 14 of chapter 14, it says, he that speaks with an unknown tongue, it said this, I'll read it to you so we get it correct. 1 Corinthians, you don't need to go there, but I'll read it to you. It was 14:14. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Well, that's a good thing. Amplified Bible says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, my mind doesn't know what I'm saying. So he's not saying don't do it. He's saying your understanding's unfruitful. It doesn't know what you're talking about, but the Holy Ghost is making communication through you. Amen. Well, when I saw that, I thought, all right, if my understanding's unfruitful, I must be doing this through somebody else's understanding. Yeah. That went off in me. I thought, I'm not using my understanding. You have to be using somebody's understanding to be doing anything. Did you know there have been people, this is true, there have been people that couldn't speak and got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Why? It comes from a different place. I saw a scientific study. I wish I had it with me because it's been a long time since I read it. But this was like colleges, universities studying the subject of speaking in tongues. And they were doing brain studies of people that were speaking in tongues. And so what they came to the conclusion of is when these people speak in tongues, they use a part of their, they don't use their brain that's like their brain for understanding like speaking languages, like speaking English. They don't use that same part. The part they're actually using is the part that listens. Because it's coming out of their spirit, man. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Now, you know, the Bible says we speak with tongues of men and of angels. I was in a service years ago, and I was praying. I was just praying in tongues around the altar, and there was a bunch of us. We had gathered up, and we were just standing up there kind of shoulder to shoulder just praying in the spirit. And there was a missionary. I knew him, but, you know, he would come back from the mission field every now and then, just for a little bit. And he was back from the mission field, and he walks up to me and he said, you're speaking perfect Spanish. Well, at that time, I didn't even know taco burrito. This was years ago. We didn't have Mexican restaurants we do today. Thank God for our Mexican restaurants. I'm just going to say amen. Thank God for Mexican restaurants. Hallelujah. Now, so you know, I didn't know that, you know. I don't know, you know. And I mean, I can give you examples of that where people will, you know, just like, for instance, I was praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in Latin America. And they all speak Spanish. But man, when they pray in tongues, I didn't even have to ask the interpreter, is that Spanish? I could tell that's not Spanish. I know Spanish. I don't know. I mean, I know when I hear it. I don't just know everything they say. Wow, hallelujah. We need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. All right, lastly, this is it. Number 7, you need to learn to walk by faith. See, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean, walk by faith? Well, you know, when we're talking about 7 ways to beat back discouragement, that means you've got to walk like you're believing it's going to work out. It's going to work out. You may not know how it's going to work out, but you're just believing it's going to work out. God's going to work it out some way. See, Paul said this. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, how do you see things not seen? Faith is the substance of things for, the hope for, the evidence of things not seen, by walking by faith. So we have to walk by faith. So let me give these 7 to you again, all right? Now, number 1, we spend a little time on this. You've got to keep your focus in life on the Lord. Get it off all the things that are wrong in our world or wrong in your world. I'm not saying you can't ever think about those things, but don't let that be your focus. Let your focus be on the answer. Amen? Number 2, you have to encourage yourself with the Word. If you don't feed on the Word on a regular basis, then your spirit's going to be weak and he's not going to be able to resist this discouragement that comes. Number three, you got to remember the prophecies, if you have ever had any. So I've never had one. Well, maybe you'll get one before the week's over. I don't know. But doesn't matter. You got the word, right?
That's right.
Number four, praise God. Number five, fellowship in the local church. Number six, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number seven, walk by faith. Amen. Amen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what's on my office wall. Amen. Walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Well, that's the way we're supposed to do it. Because if you walk by sight, how many know it? Sight sometimes is discouraging. But if you walk by faith, amen. Faith's always encouraging. Glory to God. You have to do those things. We can beat back discouragement.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.